Okay, so right. What I'll be talking about today is code editing in the browser. It comes up surprisingly often. People need to edit templates, queries, scripts, or even implement a whole IDE in a web page, as the next talk is going to show. So browsers do have a built-in editor. Hold on. Have a focus issue here. There we go. This was supposed to look slightly different. Right. Text areas are a rather unsatisfactory code editor. They're about on the level with Notepad or similar things. Search replace tends to not work the way you want it to work. There is no replace, in fact. Code wants to be indented, but when you press enter in a text area, you're always back to the zeroth column, and you can press space again until you're where you want to be. Good luck finding out which line number you're on, things like that. There's room for improvement here. So with just a few included scripts and a single line of JavaScript, you can enhance your text area to be something like a code editor. It seems that everything that's implemented on the desktop is slowly getting implemented or copied or cloned on the browser. What you see here is my project Code Mirror. Yeah, you see line numbers, coloring. I'll get into a few more features later on. We currently have three serious implementations of in-browser code editors. ACE is the Cloud9 IDE thing, which Rick will talk about a bit more later on. There's Orion, which is a project by Eclipse for their web IDE system. And then there's my thing, Code Mirror. I don't really know a lot about Orion. It's not getting a lot of press lately, so I'm not sure what's happening there. But, yeah, ACE and Code Mirror basically fill the same niche. Code Mirror is a bit smaller. ACE has more batteries included kind of approach. Code Mirror wants to be able to be adapted to completely integrate into whichever page you want to be using it. The interesting thing about this is that all three of these are open source. The repositories are online. The bug trackers are online. And as far as I know, there is no serious commercial implementation of such a system. I hope this is like the future of development. That it's nice. They're available for free. You can inspect the source. You can see what happens to your bugs rather than just firing them off and hoping for the best. So how did I get into the situation of wanting to write a code editor? This is a screenshot of a project I did in 2007, a book about JavaScript, which is online, licensed under a Creative Commons license. It has, at the bottom of each page, a console, which was inspired by Firebug, which was also rather new at the time, where you can try out every code example, play with it, work on exercises. So at start, I had a text area embedded in there, but as I said, that was not very satisfactory. So then I went to work on how to improve this. The first try was just adding auto indentation to the text area. I captured enter presses, took the editor's value, and traced back from the cursor until I had enough information to determine what would be a good indentation here. Then I changed the content of the text area to be indented. The problem with that is that, especially if you have a lot of text in your text area, getting the code out and then back in again is like atomic. You have to take everything that's in there, put everything back, and was, especially at those times, extremely slow. So then my next experiment was with design mode or content editable, depending on the browser, where you can inspect part of an editable document, change it without like having to fetch and replace the whole document. Any of you who've ever worked seriously with design mode will know that it's totally underspecified, messy, buggy, and very painful. But I did get something that worked pretty well. It would, every time it detected some event that might indicate that the content of the editor had changed, it would scan the part around the cursor for changes, normalize it back again, because the content of a design mode document is, anything can happen basically. It's not specified what happens, so IE will, for example, start wrapping everything in paragraphs every time it has a chance. So that has to be reduced back to something that looked like just code, colored, and that worked. That was Code Mirror 1. At the time, there already existed a similar project called Edit Area, which used a technique where they overlay the editor with display hidden text area and this kind of display colored text behind that. But it had the same problems that I ran into, that as soon as your document is big, it gets very slow. So it seems to be dead right now. Last release was in 2010. So for a while, Code Mirror was the dominant, most solid code editor. During this time, Mozilla started their Bespin project, which used a canvas to implement a code editor. They did some very interesting things there, but in my opinion, never really reached production quality. Canvas is not that fast and extremely unportable. So last year, Cloud9 IDE came up. Their editor is called Ace, and has by now most of the good parts from Bespin have been integrated into Ace. The Bespin project itself is mostly abandoned. And Ace pioneered a completely new technique for doing a code editor, which was much, much faster than what I was doing. More portable and generally made Code Mirror look very bad. So this was not acceptable. In the start of 2011, I started a complete rewrite of Code Mirror using some of these techniques, which is Code Mirror 2, the current version. That was a success. Didn't take all that long because I knew most of the problems. And so right now there are these three editors are live. I'm not sure about Orion, but Ace and Code Mirror are very much alive and very solid. And I recommend either of them for anyone who needs a code editor in their website. So Orion uses the same technique that the first version of Code Mirror used with content editable. Ace and Code Mirror version 2, they fake everything. So if you have something that looks like this, is going to be a little tricky to control the slide from this laptop, which is not echoing the same display. If you see here, it looks like it's editable. You can type something, you have a cursor, you can cut and paste again. You can even drag stuff into it if you want to, drag it around. But it's actually not editable at all. What you're looking at is just static DOM nodes, which are rendered from the internal model that the editor has of its content. In the background is a text area, which is empty, but has focus, so that the focusing plays nice with the rest of the what the browser expects, so you can give it a tab index and actually find out what's focused. And all that is held together by lots and lots of glue code to actually make the changes to the text area propagate to the content model that the editor has, make drag and drop work. It catches a lot of keys directly to do cursor movement and things like that. It has its own selection model. And it works pretty well, especially given the fact that it now has full control over its content model. If you rely on a text area or a content editable, you don't really know what's changing in your document because the browser has control over this text and not the editor. Implementing some things like code folding or reliable widgets in the text was just not possible in the first version of Code Mirror. It can be done now. Such an editor has the advantage that it can implement an API that is more pleasant than a text area API for people to implement all kinds of cool things on top. For example, here you can see code folding, unfolding, I'm back again, and it just does what you want. If I delete this part, then the function is gone. It has undo, redo, code completion. If I do code here and I press this, you see that? It's search and replace is more pleasant than what you get in a normal text area. If I search for code, I can skip through them, and it searches only in the editor. And well, some old browsers just skip over text areas altogether. You can replace something if you want to. And this is all implemented just by external code. It's not even in the core of the code editor itself. You write scripts against the API. You can add any kind of advanced IDE features that you might want. An important thing for a code editor is to support easy definition of language modes. Just last month, I was in the position of having to write a mode for Emacs for a new language. It was extremely painful because the API is weird and very complicated and error prone. With CodeMirror, the goal is to do something extremely simple. What you do is you register a mode object under a name, so it'll be the name of the language. And it only needs one method in the simplest case, which consumes a stream. It gets a stream for each token, for each syntactically relevant aspect of the text stream. It skips over the part of the stream that it's interested in, and then returns a string indicating what the role of this token is. So, for example, a very simple thing could just see: am I at the front of a double quote? Then I skip to the next and escape double quote, and I return string. Am I at the start of a word? Then I skip over the word and look whether it's a keyword. Depending on whether it's a keyword, I return a keyword style or just variable style. And if it's something else, I just skip to the next thing that I know how to handle. And it's like a simple mode in four lines of very simple JavaScript. Some modes need some more, need to keep state. For example, to handle multi-line commands, you need to know I'm now in the middle of a command. So a mode that needs it can define a function start state that's used to generate a state object that's then threaded through all the calls to token, where you can update your state object if you need to. And what CodeMirror does is save this state object at the end of every line, so that if you're typing on line 10, it doesn't have to reparse the whole document. It can just take the state at the end of line 9, parse line 10 using that, and then finished, unless something significant changed, since it'll go down until it finds a line that didn't change. Even though the people implementing these modes don't really have to think about it, it's a powerful, efficient model. This information that such a parser, which is running over the code from top to bottom, is gathering, is often extremely useful for determining the ideal indentation of a certain line. So modes that want to can also define a function indent, which can look at the state and the line coming after it and return a number indicating the desired column to indent this code in. Where's my other slide? Ah, there we are. So this is a list of the languages that are currently available, most of them implemented by users. And this is an example of what such a state can do. For example, the JavaScript mode knows when a variable is local, which is quite useful for preventing accidental use of global variables. For example, here, this length is printed black because it doesn't recognize it. If I change it to the right spelling, it becomes kind of blue because you can lexically determine whether a variable is local or not, so it can use a different style for that. The XML mode uses the same to spot when you're mismatching a tag. It knows exactly which text it's in. And that is A used for the indentation. It knows that I'm... Once this there, okay. So I didn't intend this as it expected in the original code, but it knows that it's down two tags, so it indents four spaces. You can customize it. If I fix this tag, it becomes green again. And the cool thing about having this kind of stream-oriented mode interface is that you can easily compose them. The HTML mode is basically a multiplexer, which multiplexes between the CSS, JavaScript, and XML modified for some HTML rules modes. It starts in the HTML mode whenever it sees a script tag. It switches to the JavaScript mode so that in the script tag we have a function highlighted because it's a JavaScript keyword. If we type function outside of the it doesn't become purple because an XML function has no special role at all. So that's kind of cute. Then for people who actually are interested in actual computer science, I'm going to talk a bit about the way CodeMirror represents its document. The issue is that lines can be folded so they can vanish. Lines can be wrapped so they can become bigger. And I'm being extremely obsessive about making everything, making as few operations as possible take time linear to the size of the document, because you want to be able to edit 100,000 lines of code without incurring significant overhead when you're just typing something on line one. So finding the position of a line, if lines can have differing heights, is a linear operation if you just represent them linearly. But if you put them in a tree, this is a rough illustration of the tree, where each node remembers both the amount of actual lines that are in it and the height that these lines take. And for example, here, the red axis are lines that have been folded away. Then you can, in logarithmic time, walk through this tree to find either line number n. Then you, if I want line number 44, I'll just go look at the first child of the top node. It has 46 lines in it. This means that it contains line number 44. So we descend that and find line number 44 right here. Under this node, but on the other hand, if I'm looking, if the user clicks the mouse at position, the position of the 44th line in the editor, I want to know what to focus, so I need to know at vertical offset 44 which line is there. So then we look at the first numbers, which are the actual heights taken up by each node. And we notice that this one is only 43, so it doesn't contain the line we're looking for. We look at the other one, which does contain it, and we can just go through these nodes and find it in stepping through only three nodes instead of iterating over the whole document. One other thing that CodeMirror does is, and Ace does as well, is it doesn't render the whole document to the DOM. It listens to your scrolling events and then renders only the visible part. So even if you have this 100,000 line XML document for some reason loaded into your code editor, there's no freeze when CodeMirror loads. It's all it needs to, well, maybe there's a tiny freeze because it needs to split this document into lines and new lines and load those as its lines into a tree. But that's tiny on modern browsers, even for a 100,000 lines document. If you want to render 100,000 lines to the DOM, on the other hand, that's expensive. That takes a while. So it only, if you have an editor which is like 20, 30 lines high, it only renders a little window around the visible area. When you scroll a little bit, it doesn't have to update. When you scroll so far that you're scrolling outside of the visible window, the scroll event notices and just re-renders the text that should be there in your visible area. So that makes things very fast. The reason, that's also an application of this tree, because when you scroll down to 500 text line heights down, you want to know which line starts at position 500, which is not always line 500 if there are wrapped lines or collapsed lines. The reason it's a B tree and not a normal binary tree is that typical insertion goes by bulk, or deletion goes by bulk. You do Control A, del, your whole document is cleared. If you were to then delete lines from a binary tree one at a time, that would be awkwardly slow, whereas a B tree deals very well with bulk inserts if they are sequential. You just dump them into the node where they go, and then you let them propagate up in chunks. So you usually have to, for a big insert, propagate through three or four nodes. And in practice, it turns out to be even faster than I expected. But that's kind of the danger of V8 and recent JavaScript engines. If you're testing in a modern browser, things are so fast that you don't even imagine that they might be slow on IE7 or something. So necessarily, this all runs a bit smoother in a real modern browser than in old IEs. But it is portable. IE6, Firefox 2, and I don't remember the exact Opera version that I'm supporting, but you can basically expect your users to be using something that supports CodeMirror, except, of course, mobile browsers are largely supported, but the experience isn't perfect yet. I'm not sure if people want to be editing code on a mobile browser, but it's very hard basically to hook into things like the selection API, where you have these little widgets that you can drag around your text. There's no feedback about that. You can't fake it easily in JavaScript, because you don't get events, you don't get any information about it. I hope that browsers will improve this. There's other things like the context menu. It would be nice if context menu opened some event, and if picking something from that context menu fired another event. What I'm currently doing is terrible, but works. Whenever someone has something selected, you click on it. What's actually happening is that sneakily it pops up the text area, the hidden text area that's being used for input, under your mouse cursor, and then immediately hides it again, so that the actual click goes to the text area and not to the plain DOM node that's sitting under it. And that way, otherwise, I mean, if I'm clicking here, I don't get a copy menu, I don't get a paste menu or anything, because it's not editable. But if I'm clicking here, I do. One thing that doesn't work is select all, because that doesn't actually cause anything to happen if you're focusing a text area that only has your current selection in it. And it needs to only have the current selection in it, because putting the whole document in it makes it A, extremely hard to position the selection under the mouse cursor, and B, might be really, really slow. So those are small things where you notice that it's not really an editable document. That's all. I hope that I've convinced everyone to never use a text area again, which is exaggerating. You can make a text area look like half decent. You can style it to not look so bad, but it remains very primitive for anything beyond the most simple of tasks. I see that I've once again been way, way, way too fast. So if someone has a question, I would be very glad to answer it.
Hey, good talk. How would you deal with something like Markdown or something like that? Would you?
There is a Markdown mode. Okay. I don't have internet. Well, maybe I can actually demonstrate it. Let me see if Control L is apparently not working, or does it? No. Hold on, I'll open another browser. There are a few extra hacks in the mode API to deal, for example, with significant empty lines, which Markdown has, and which normally... hold on. There we are. This is the CodeMirror homepage, which is what you get when you check out the repository, which is on GitHub. The issues are also being tracked on GitHub. Let's see, Markdown is there. So there's some ugly text, test text in here. The author, I didn't write it, the author of this chose a very, very minimal coloring, basically just bolding things and making some things blue. You see that he's falling back to HTML mode in inline HTML paragraphs, but so it deals well with Markdown.
I was wondering if, in your quest to make text areas more usable, you've explored the depths of content editable at all, and if you think it has any hope of helping.
Yeah. When I was talking about design mode, all that also went for content editable. The implementations are on all browsers very similar. It has the same problem that you don't really have control over your documents. So for example, people can paste anything into it, pictures included, HTML, all markup, and then the browser has to come and somehow normalize that to something that looks like code. And it means you have to keep your whole document in the DOM. And editable DOM is like a factor 10 slower for some reasons on all browsers that it tested than non-editable DOM, probably because it just has to deal with a lot more things. So big documents were really, really slow, and that's the reason I switched to this new model.
Hi, what's your approach to customization of the editor? If you want to do crazy new things with it?
So there's a big API for customizing it. As I said, these things like auto-completion are implemented entirely outside of the core. It's just extra code that looks at the editor where it's currently at. It can hook into the mode to get information about the token that the cursor is at. Then it can also look at the mode state if it wants to. For example, the JavaScript auto-completion also completes local variables because the JavaScript mode state knows all local variables at a given point. There's an API for getting the screen position of the cursor. So you can pop up your widget for auto-completion right under the cursor and then use another call to change the code at the cursor once you actually select some completion. There's like options, three screens of them, methods, five screens of them. There's quite a lot there.
So can you get deeper into like the workings of the editor and really change how it does sort of more core things?
Like what, for example?
I'm trying to think of examples. Like have it render non-text objects inline. Clickable areas, that kind of thing.
That's actually an open problem. I intend to handle that right now. Currently, it's only you can style some things. Like you will still get a span. Everything in there is spans with classes, and style it whichever way you want. So you can make it look like a widget if you really want to, and you can overlay it with widgets. But you can't currently really make a widget part of the text like you would in Emacs or something. But I'm exploring that.
Thanks.
We've got one question about that. I think it's just the last question, and we'll have our next speaker.
Yeah, how do you, is there a way to do customized key combinations, things like that? And yeah. How do you feel about like hijacking, you know, browser keystrokes and